afternoon. I would like to call to order the Senate Education and Workforce Development Committee. Today is Tuition Equity Day here. It's the only bill that we're going to discuss. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to go into a public hearing shortly and go until 2:30. And we will try to get as many people as we can, starting off with some of our legislators. And we're going to try to loosely limit you to around 2 minutes, with the goal then of hearing from as many people as we can. And we have a lot of people signed up here today. What we'll probably do, in the interest of fairness, is to hear from a proponent and an opponent and go back and forth until we get to our time, and hopefully we'll take care of everybody. So with that, let me open up a public hearing on House Bill 2787. Councilor Donovan, if you could give us a quick summary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2787A provides certain students are entitled to exemption from non-resident tuition and fees at public universities given specific criteria, and requires an annual report from the Oregon University System about the number of students exempted, and it does allow for direct Supreme Court action on a challenge of this act.
Thank you. I would like to call up Senate President Peter Courtney, Representative Michael Denbrough, and Representative Julie Parrish. Senator Courtney, if we could start with you.
Chair Hass, Vice Chair Knope, and members of the Senate Education and Workforce Development Committee. My name is Peter Courtney, and I live in North Salem, represent Senate District 11. I represent portions of Salem, Jervis, and Woodburn. You know, I have prepared remarks, and I guess I'll get to them. I have to say, I almost don't know what to say anymore on this. I'm here to support House Bill 2787. It was 10 years ago that a principal, then Principal Woodburn High School, said to me, "Would you introduce a bill," which I did, which basically would become the tuition equity bill. It was called Senate Bill 10. Now, at the time, I didn't know what I'd done. And it seems like the world came in on me and my family, even on a national basis. And the most remarkable thing back then, the Senate was tied, as some of you may know, 15 to 15, on a remarkable day when that measure went to the floor, extraordinary debate. It would succeed with 22 yes votes. And then it went to the House and it disappeared. Well, back in 2011, we tried it all over again. Again, Senate Bill 742. And again, it goes to the Senate floor, and it prevails on an 18-11 vote, and it went to the House, and it disappeared. You know, I've been working on the bill for 10 years. Now, I worked on another bill, PKU bill, for 12 years. It's interesting. Both of them involve children. I said it before, the only thing wrong with adults, excuse me, with kids or adults, I came up with that phrase, some speech I gave, and I didn't know what I'd said. But the more I think about it, in my own sort of not-so-smart way, it's very correct. The children we're talking about, the kids we're talking about, are in every one of our schools. My kids are your kids, and your kids are my kids. Today, together, they are Oregon's kids. This bill would allow undocumented children to qualify for in-state tuition if they have graduated from an Oregon high school, been accepted to an Oregon university, gone to Oregon schools for at least 3 years, lived in the U.S. for at least 5 years, demonstrated an intent to become a citizen, and are dependent of a non-citizen. Oregon graduates from our high schools who have the aptitude to be accepted at one of our universities should have a chance to post-secondary education. The current cost is extremely prohibitive for immigrant students because they are treated as out-of-state students or as foreign students. Our numbers show that the University of Oregon, I do not mean to pick on the University of Oregon, as you know, I work at Western Oregon University, the numbers are similar. The average cost of out-of-state students is $114,612. That is only tuition and fees. It does not include other necessary expenses like room, board, books, or computers. Having them pay in-state tuition would be an additional revenue for the state of Oregon, our colleges and universities. I go on. Oregon can only benefit by educating these young people. We have planted the seeds of their greatness within them during their high schools here. Let's allow them to access higher education and see them through to fruition and add to Oregon's abundant resources. In my district, I can think of three major high schools where these students are probably in attendance. I can tell you that they not only are good students, they participate in all the athletic teams. They do the yearbooks, the class plays. This is the only country, the only society they've ever known. They've ever known. They get into a public university in our state, and we say, not you. You can't go. Because you see, they can't pay that tuition. They cannot pay it. And please remember, I have three sons. My sons did not ask for me to be their father. I'm going to speculate that most people in this room did not choose their mother and father. And I've long said I would hope to God that my sins or my actions would never be held against my three sons. That's very important. Parents make decisions because they adore and love their children unconditionally. I'll let that stand. I'll let that stand. But these young people are part of who we are. They're part of Oregon and her greatness. All they want to do is go to do what we want to have happen with our own children. And you know, what's really nice is they want to go to our public universities in our state and be part of Oregon. This is a heartbreaking story for me because when we started 10 years ago, only two states had this bill. The states of Utah and Texas. And what is remarkable, Utah and Texas were red then, and they're red now. And yet Oregon had a chance to be number three, and we didn't quite get there. There are 14 other states to have this bill. Now, I'm not saying do it because of the other states, but it's the Oregon way to be a pioneer. It's the Oregon way to be the first wagon, the first wagon. We're not afraid of change. We don't wait for other states to do things. All I'm asking is, please, these young people, they're Oregonians. They're Oregonians. They want to go to Oregon's university. Yes, it's been a decade. I'm very grateful to the House because this time we decided we'd start it in the House. And sure enough, it has come forward. It is now here. It is now in your hands. It'll be up to you individually and collectively to decide what you will do with this legislation, whether you will move it to the Senate floor. I do not know what the votes are in this committee. And should you move it, I do not know what the votes are on the Senate floor. But I'll tell you this. If it takes another 10 years, if it takes another 10 years, and I'm here, and who knows, I may not be here tomorrow, I will continue to do this as I did years ago for another children's bill. Because you see, children didn't make decisions. They didn't make these decisions. The decisions were made for them. And they have come up to meet all our standards in this state. Yes, they have. They've met the standards in their school system. They've met their standards in their communities. They have done the best job they could do, given what they had in front of them, to say, I want to go to the University of Oregon. I want to go to Oregon State. I want to be a Viking. Take me out to Eastern Oregon. I want to go to Oregon Institute of Technology. How about Southern Oregon University National? I want to go to Western Oregon University. And we say, no, not so fast. Why? Why? Let there be no more why. Let's welcome them. They love this state. They love who we are. They want to be a part of it like everybody else here does. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Representatives.
Thank you, Chair Haas, members of the committee. I'm Michael Dembro. I represent House District 45. That's Northeast Portland out to Park Rose. And it's an honor and a pleasure for me to come here to help present House Bill 2787. I've given you prepared remarks, and I'm not going to go over them. You can find all my reasoning there, and you can read it at your leisure. Let me just say a couple of things. This bill is essentially the same bill that this committee passed in 2011 and that passed the Senate floor. It has a few small changes, small but significant, that were the product of consensus reached on the House Committee on Higher Education, where it passed out on a 7-2 vote and then passed the floor of the House in a bipartisan manner. And I would ask you to, I hope as you look over the bill that we have sent to you, you will recognize the bipartisan nature of the amendments that were put into it and will leave it as is. Now, as I said, you know, you can read in my remarks my reasoning for supporting this bill, but I just want to use my time here to tell you two brief stories. The first is the story of what first got me interested in this issue. It was when I was teaching a class in research writing at Portland Community College. And I had a student, a very bright young woman. Her name was Rosario. And she, early in the term, she came to me in my office, and she was in tears. And I asked her what the problem was, and she told me that it had to do with her brother. Rosaria was brought to this, Rosaria was born in this country. Her brother was brought to this country by her parents when he was nearly a year old. And the two of them grew up together. But of course, they had very different immigration statuses because their parents were in line to become citizens but had not become citizens. And around her brother was someone that she worshipped growing up. He was bright, he was smart, he was really good in math, he was active in their church, he wanted to become an engineer, very good in math. His dream was to go to Oregon State University, become an engineer. And sometime, I think it was when he was a junior in high school, she said, he realized that going to Oregon State was probably not going to be a possibility for him. And he started to drift at that point and lose interest in school, stopped attending church, ended up getting caught up in the wrong element. And the day that she came to me in tears was the day after he'd been arrested. And she was distraught and didn't know how to handle it. And, you know, I suggested to her that she do her research project for the term on tuition equity, which I had just heard about. It was the beginning of efforts to deal with that issue. And she did, and it was very therapeutic for her. But, of course, it didn't do anything to help her brother at that point. But it did really, it made me then fully aware of the efforts that were going on in these other schools. So let me fast forward. In as part of our work on Senate Bill 742 in 2011, I met a young woman from California. Her name was Mariana Zamboni. She had been brought to this country as a young woman. I think she was 6 years old, from a country in South America. I can't remember which one it was. Her mother and she had flown to this country, and her mother had overextended her visa and was living here undocumented. Mariana went to UCLA. She too was very good in school. She was very active in her community, was accepted into UCLA, which she was able to go to because California is one of those countries that has tuition equity. Their statute is AB 540. Mariana was very successful at UCLA, to the point that she was accepted into the Harvard University graduate program in education. And just she was accepted, I think, in April into that program, and in May her mother's documentation status finally came through, her citizenship, after it was either 13 or 16 years. I think it was 16 years that they had been waiting. And Mariana was then able to go to Harvard as a citizen, returned to California, and has been very, very active in as an educator there. She came to testify for us, and after her testimony, she told me a little secret, and that is that she had tattooed onto her shoulder AB 540, because she believed that it was because of that bill that she was able to have a successful life. And it meant that much to her. And I was very impressed with that. And that, you know, this story, I think, of, you know, where you compare two young people One story a tragedy, one story, you know, just a wonderful success story. That's what this bill is all about. This is what we're asking this legislature to do, to provide this kind of path to young people where they can reach their potential and really serve this state and this country the way that we hope that they will. Senators, I urge you to support this bill, pass it to the floor, and I'll be happy to answer any particular questions you have about it. Thank you.
Thank you for hearing us today. For the record, I'm Julie Parrish, representative from House District 37. Colleagues, I don't know if Committee Services had a chance to distribute to you yet a newspaper article that came out of the Estacada News, A Tale of Two Bills. I'm here today to ask us to pause on this bill, working this bill. And for the record, let me just tell you, there's probably not another member of this body that understands this issue of House Bill 2787 more than I do. My dad came here from the Middle East legally. There is definitely dissent within even the immigrant community about whether the state's handling immigration is the right thing to do, and there are some folks who are immigrants who aren't happy with this bill. But I also have a brother whose father was here illegally from Mexico. So by a twist of fate, you know, I could be one of these kids who are sitting behind us here today. So I understand that. And this was probably one of the more difficult votes for me on the House side. Was actually called a hypocrite on the House side because I put out a floor letter from my constituent who was not in favor of this, even though I supported the bill. I don't want to live in the Middle East. I don't speak the language. I don't like the food. I think it's kind of hot. And I'm a little outspoken, and that's not really encouraged there if you're so I fit here, and I believe that probably the kids behind me fit here as well. So I'm going to take off my immigrant kids hat, and I'm going to put on my Army wife hat. So we passed this bill on a Friday morning. 2 days later, two work days later, in House Veterans Affairs, we heard a similar bill, a bill that would allow veterans returning from service, their spouses, and their children, the ability to have in-state tuition in Oregon. Now, I got to tell you, I'm hoping that this bill, the one that we're hearing today, is not a political bill, that it's not about what happens outside of this building and what will happen in 2014. But when you have the governor of Oregon go out and give a press conference on this issue, when you have a bill that is so quickly fast-tracked through the House, when you have a bill that the fiscal revenue office, and you just heard our good Senator Courtney testify, that makes money for the state, proposed in 2015-17 biennium that this would generate revenue for Oregon of $1.5 million of positive revenue, there are people who said, okay, we take those arguments and we're going to vote yes on them. So we get into Veterans Affairs 2 days later. Similar bill, House Bill 2162, House Bill 2158 with a dash one amendment that we're going to combine those two bills. There's no press conference for our veterans about having them return to Oregon. There's a woman who lives in Oregon City. Her son was one of the Navy SEALs who died in Benghazi on September 12th. Okay, that bill, if her daughter-in-law and her grandchildren wanted to come to Oregon, the bills we're talking about in Veterans Affairs would let them pay in-state tuition for Oregon.
Representative, I'm going to ask you to keep your remarks to the bill in front of this body.
Well, here's my problem, Senator Haas, with the bill, and is that House Bill 2162 for soldiers and families with GI Bills apparently doesn't make the state any money. The revenue impact statement came back that we won't see funds for veterans returning. So I'm going to ask until there's a process error here in my mind, that one bill has been moved forward so quickly, and I supported it, and the other bill is stalled, and not to the lack of the caring of our committee. Chair Matthews over there is fantastic on these issues. But when the university presidents come and sign in support of 2787, and then they send somebody from the university to come say that there is a problem with 2162, and there's no revenue generated with folks with the GI Bill, I have a problem with the process. And I'm asking that this committee continue to take the testimony today, but that we pause and that we find out why there is a problem and why there are discrepancies between two bills that address the very same issue. And that's my testimony today.
Thank you. Any questions today of these legislators? Senator Cruz.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dembro, I'm confused. Section 2, sub B, lines 11 through 14, which basically says that somebody who is undocumented but has attended school in another state or is eligible for in-state tuition, whereas somebody who is a citizen of the United States would not be eligible for in-state tuition. Are we setting up a potential conflict there? I find that very confusing because that goes beyond just citizens of the state of Oregon.
Okay, let me clarify. Thank
sure.
you, Senator Haas and Senator Cruz. So the bill says that if someone has attended a school in the U.S. for 5 years, but 3 years in an Oregon high school and has graduated from an Oregon high school, then they're eligible for this, for this bill. They have to have spent their last 3 years of high school in the Oregon high school and graduated from the Oregon high school, and that's the difference.
Okay, I'm not sure it actually says that, but because I think there's separation there,
okay.
That it's this or this or this, and that's some confusion for me. And I understand what you're saying, Representative, but I'm not sure that's how I read it. So
okay, so if I could just point you, Senator, to subsection A.
Mm-hmm.
During each of the 3 years immediately prior to receiving a high school diploma, or leaving school before receiving a high school diploma, attended an elementary or a secondary school in the state. So that's Elsie's writing of that intent.
If I could, Mr. Chair.
Senator Cruz.
And I read that, but then B has a different criteria, and I'm not sure that the two are necessarily that connected.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a
yes.
question.
And this is the same language as 2011. The bill that was introduced in 2011 had just the 3-year requirement in high school, which is what I think virtually every other state has as their tuition equity requirement. We extended that to make it a 5-year requirement, that they had to have been in an American school, a U.S. school, for the last 5 years, but 3 years of those, it still had to be in Oregon.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Gilliam, are you here as a participant?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Gilliam, State Representative and member of the House Committee on Higher Education and Workforce Development, so I heard a lot of the testimony that I hope you'll hear today, too. I'm here today just to urge you to watch a couple of things that I think maybe we overlooked on the other side. And, one of my least favorite phrases in this building, Mr. Chair, is fix it on the Senate side. My least favorite is it's time for caucus. But I was invited to fix it on the Senate side, and I have no pretense that I am here to fix anything that you're going to do, but I did want to come over and say that I have a number of constituents and others who were very concerned about this bill, and they were concerned that they weren't heard. This is a big deal. This is a controversial bill, and we limited our testimony to 2 hours. And that was not enough. And I feel very strongly that there are people who were not heard. And I urge you, if you have to use a timer and no reading of testimony or whatever techniques, I urge you to listen to everyone, whatever side they're speaking on the bill. And to that point, please do not ignore the veterans issue. You've heard a little bit about that. And if you need others, I think Representative Escoval is a very good spokesperson for that issue. Please do not ignore students who speak, who are currently in our institutions from out of state, who are documented, and who are paying full tuition. Please do not ignore their point of view. And I would say, do not ignore the businesses who want to hire folks. The folks that are going to speak in favor of this bill and would like to go to our institutions but don't have the paperwork, they want to hire them, but there was not, in my opinion, there was nothing clear in this bill about that path. So don't ignore them and leave businesses in the lurch, and don't leave the kids that want to come under this bill in the lurch when it comes time for a summer job, or more importantly, a job in the field that they're trying to get a degree in. And lastly, I would say, I want this bill to be equitable for every Oregonian, for those speaking on both sides. And I urge you to do the kind of due diligence that I know this committee is capable of doing. This is an important bill. I think we all want something equitable. We didn't send you the complete package, and I'm looking forward to your deliberations so that people are heard, and it truly is a bill of equity. And I thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, and you can rest assured that when people say they'll fix it over in the Senate, that we get right on it whenever we hear those.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, I just wanted to point out that probably the worst thing we hear is we'll fix it in the House. So.
Thank you, Representative Gilliam. Okay. We'll call up three at a time. Please be cognizant of our time limits. And I ask for forgiveness in advance for mispronouncing your names here. So Mike Item, Vim Ludwig, and Cynthia Kendall, why don't you come up? And on deck, I will have Callie Thorne-Ladd, Jessica Ritter, and Vanessa Dominguez. And your yellow light up here is... It's not like a traffic light. It doesn't mean you have to speed up and go through. It means you have 30 seconds left. Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. Chairman Hass, honorable senators, my name is Mike Item, and I'm here in opposition of House Bill 2787. I'm a U.S. citizen born and raised in Oregon and a decorated U.S. Army veteran. My wife is a legal resident of Oregon from Canada. As a lifetime resident of Oregon, I'm deeply concerned about the illegal immigration situation in our state. We as Oregon citizens are letting our rights be given away by you, trusted representatives we send to Salem. The Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act was passed by the federal government in 1996. I found some interesting information in this federal law that takes precedent over the proposed legislation in House Bill 2787, and in fact will put the state of Oregon in violation of this federal law. Section 505 of this law deals directly with limitations on eligibility for preferential treatment of aliens not lawfully present on the basis of resident for higher education benefits. Paragraph A states, and I'm quoting, an alien who is unlawfully present in the United States shall not be eligible on the basis of resident within a state for any post-secondary education benefits unless citizens or legal nationals of the United States are eligible for such a benefit in no less amount, duration, and scope, without regard to whether the citizen or legal national is a resident. What this means is that an illegal alien isn't eligible for any in-state tuition benefits unless all U.S. citizens or legal residents are eligible for the same benefit, even if they don't reside in this state. If this law passes, all out-of-state tuition fees and for any U.S. citizen or legal national...
Adam, I need you to wrap it up if you can, please.
Okay, I will. ...would be illegal per this federal law and subject to court change. I have three questions. If our state university system cannot legally charge out-of-state tuition fees to any U.S. citizens or legal nationals, how will this affect their already stretched budgets? Two, what would the financial burden be to the taxpayers of Oregon to subsidize these potential losses? And three, explain how passing 2787, that's clearly a violation of this federal law, teaches these students you are so concerned about to respect our laws governing our country. As senators, you took an oath of office to support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and the state of Oregon. I, as a combat veteran, fought to preserve. In this time of economic uncertainty here in our state, I ask you to do the right thing for the citizens of Oregon. Oppose House Bill 2787. Thank you.
Ms. Kendall.
Good afternoon. I'm Cynthia Kendall from Salem, Oregon, and thank you for this opportunity to testify. The simple fact that there are no limits on the number of students that can access the in-state tuition benefit, that there's no sunset or end date, that there's no clear definition of statement of intent or an affidavit, that there is no plan to follow up or any consequences for not following through on those promises to become a citizen is troublesome to me as a citizen and as a taxpayer. Clearly, the bill has holes that one could drive a truck through. But if this misguided legislation must pass, please take the time to strengthen the bill with just a few simple amendments. First, require the students to attend a community college and receive an associate's degree. Community college credits are now much easier to transfer to universities, and that would save thousands of dollars. Is it unreasonable to expect that these students could pay for their first 2 years of higher education at a community college, and if they're successful, then they could continue on at a university? Second, add some sort of a sunset clause that would allow the ultimate impact of this bill to be reviewed, renewed, or perhaps abandoned completely. Third, a student participant limit and or a dollar cost maximum should be included in any bill. That seems like something easy to understand. The number of anticipated students varies widely depending on the source of the estimate. Let's simply set a limit of some kind. It's just common sense. Another way to accomplish these limits would be to grant any student now currently enrolled in an Oregon school, at the time the bill goes into effect, they would be granted in-state tuition and then no more. That's it. So that would be not promises made to people who aren't even here in the country illegally yet.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Ludwig.
Chair of the House, members of the committee, my name is Jim Ludwig. I'm an American citizen. In the House, Jay Kenton, the chief financial officer for the Oregon University System, testified that the difference between in-state and out-of-state tuition at the University of Oregon is about $20,000 per year. That means if this bill passes, an illegal alien will get a $20,000 per year benefit that an American citizen would not get if he came from another state. A legal immigrant who wants to do everything right, wants to play by the rules, would pay $20,000 more in tuition than a legal alien. Now, proponents call this tuition equity. How can it be tuition equity if an American citizen has to pay $20,000 more in tuition than a legal alien? This should be called tuition inequity. Michael Dembrow testified in the House that present Oregon policy bars illegal aliens from attending universities. That is not true. They can attend any university if they qualify, if they pay out-of-state tuition, which you would expect a non-citizen to do. Dembrow also testified there's no state grant money involved in this. Well, that may be the case now, but I would be willing to bet you dollars to donuts that that'll be the next step. Look at the paper I just passed out. California passed in-state tuition to illegal aliens 10 years ago. Last year they passed state assistance, college assistance for illegal aliens. 20,000 illegal aliens in California system signed up for it. 20,000. It's going to cost their state $65 million a year just for that component. That doesn't include the $200 million a year they spend in loss of tuition between in-state and out-of-state tuition. Representative Dembrow also testified that this won't cost state taxpayers any money. That's not true. Kenton testified that in-state tuition is about $6,000 per year. The cost of educating a student is $12,000 per year. Someone has to make up that difference. And finally, I keep hearing that there's not going to be many students take advantage of it, including the state fiscal office, I'm wrapping up, said there'll only be 80 students. Look at that from California, 20,000 students? Now, there's quite a gap between 80 and 20,000 under Governor Kitzhoffer's 40-40-20 plan. He expects 40% of high school graduates to go on to college and graduate. There are 30,000 illegal aliens in our public schools,
Mr. Ludwig,
which means 12,000 illegal aliens would get in-state tuition, and it would be at a huge cost to us. This bill is not tuition equity. It's tuition inequity.
Are there any questions of our first panel here? Thank you.
Thank you.
Jessica Ritter, Callie Thorne Ladd, Vanessa Dominguez. And on deck, Carol Niebert, Larry Wilcox, and Mark Callahan. Whoever wants to go first.
Okay. Good afternoon, Chair Haas and members of the committee. I want to thank you for giving me the chance to talk to you guys today. And I want to say that my name is Vanessa Dominguez, and I'm here to testify in favor of passing tuition equity because it affected one of my family members directly. My brother immigrated here at the age of 14 because after his father's death, and he had no family to stay with in Mexico, so my mom decided to bring him here to the U.S. to live with us. We have no other family, so by the end of his freshman year, my brother spoke perfect English. He aced all his exams because he already knew the material that was being taught. He couldn't apply for FAFSA, OSACs, or any other scholarships at the time because he didn't have a social security number. So by not being able to get any financial aid, this would make it even harder for him to pay that out-of-state tuition. It's a tremendous amount of money. Our family isn't able to financially support him. We are a low-income family. He moved to a place, he was forced to go back to Mexico, a place where he has no other family, just to get the education that he deserved, only to pursue his dreams. I am currently a senior at Roosevelt High School. I can sincerely say that it saddens me to see so many of my peers abandon their dreams of going to a university just to get a degree because they don't have the financial support and have to pay three times as much tuition as someone that qualifies for in-state. Many of my peers find themselves running into a wall that they can't climb over. They aren't asking for a special privilege. As youth who have lived here in Oregon for three or more years and have worked hard to get good grades in high school, who under any other circumstances would qualify for in-state tuition, are just asking for a right that they deserve. As someone that is a citizen of the United States and a taxpayer, I can say that by granting these youth in-state tuition, I wouldn't feel that anything is being taken away from me. It would be a great loss in my peer if my peers don't move on to higher education. I thank you again for hearing me, and I urge you to vote yes for tuition equity for youth like my brother and my peers.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kelly Thorne Ladd. I'm on the board of Portland Community College, representing Zone 2, North and Northeast Portland, and Scappoose in Columbia City, Columbia County. I am here to testify in support of the tuition equity bill. I think that this bill is not only the right thing to do, but it makes fiscal and economic sense. In Oregon, we have an audacious goal of 40-40-20, and this is also in step with the national goals around college degree attainment. According to the CLASP research group, to remain globally competitive in the U.S., each state should ensure that at least 60% of adults are able to have an associate's or bachelor's degree by 2025. In Oregon, the current rate is 38.6%. Oregon ranks 29 among 50 states in the size of the credential increase it needs to achieve annually. To meet the 60% goal, it will need to produce an additional 252,022 degrees by 2025. Our per capita income increases when the state meets this goal. And in fact, they project that Oregon's annual revenue will top $850 million in 2025 if this goal is met. People smarter than I have done the math on this economic analysis, but what I know as a board member of the largest higher ed institution in the state, serving more than 94,000 students, that tuition equity moves us closer to achieving this goal. It is smart policy and economically advantageous, but it's also something we really need right now. Most importantly, though, on the human level, it's the right thing to do. For thousands of students out there, the perception of the impossible becomes possible with a bill like tuition equity. We all know that education is a pathway to opportunity, and I know that there was a time when my own ancestors were denied that right. They were relegated to a lower class status, and it didn't help our country, it didn't help the state of Oregon, and we're still fighting to emerge from that. I feel that now it's 2013. We are better than this as a people, and we are better than this as a state. And as a policymaker, I believe this is the responsible thing to do. And as a human being, it is the thing we must do. And I will say that my colleagues on the business side that do business with PCC agree with this as well. So I urge you to vote yes on House Bill 2787.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Good afternoon, Chair Haas, members of the committee. My name is Jessica Ritter, and I'm a professor at Pacific University in Forest Grove, Oregon. And I'm here today to urge you to support this bill. And I'd like to talk to you today about my experience as a college educator. And I have a job that I feel really lucky to have because I get to see students come in as freshmen, and it's really amazing to see the power and transformation that a college education has over 4 years by the time they, you know, are seniors and they go off into the world, many of them to graduate school, others to, you know, fulfill a passion for a career. It's really incredible to see what a college degree does for people, and I just think that this should be something as a state that we want, you know, all of our citizens and all of our residents in Oregon to have. You know, the second point I'd like to make is that this has very wide support from the higher education community in Oregon. I have not met one educator from the higher education community that opposes this, and we know that all of the university presidents of all the major universities have come out to strongly support this bill. And I think I just want to close by saying, you know, people who have had a hard time with this bill a lot of times like to say that this is some sort of a handout, and I just think that could not be further from the truth. In no way is this a handout. If you've had the privilege of knowing a lot of the undocumented youth in our communities, they know, they grow up knowing they have to work 10 times harder than most youth to get where they want to be. They know they have to earn good grades, they have to graduate from high school, they still have to compete to get into college, and after all of that, at the end of the day, they will have to pay in-state tuition without help from the state or the federal government to help with loans or financial aid. So I think that this bill, you know, I don't see a downside. I think this is a win for all of us as Oregonians. And just to, you know, Representative Parrish talked about this bill being fast-tracked, and this has been 10 years of us talking about this bill, so I would really disagree with that characterization that this has been fast-tracked. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in right at 2 minutes, by the way. The first one of 10 speakers who did that.
Well, she's a college professor.
That's right. So.
I've had some practice.
I guess maybe I'm impatient. I used to be in the TV news business, and we were always trained to tell every story in less than a minute 45. So I thank you all. Do we have any questions? Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Carol Niebert, Larry Wilcox, Mark Callahan. On deck, Cindy Avila, Patricia Cruz, Jasmine Rowe. Welcome.
Who gets to go? I'll go. Good afternoon. My name is Carol Niebert. I'm in Senator Roblin's district. I am against this bill. I am not a polished, paid, hired gun speaker. I'm just a grandma, 70 years old. I just want it to be fair for everybody. I'm lifelong fourth generation Oregonian. My children graduated from the University of Oregon. My grandchildren were born here through no fault of their own. My son took a job out of state. They would like to attend the University of Oregon where their parents graduated. They are denied in-state tuition. And I think as U.S. citizens, legal, I think it should just be fair. If you want to eliminate in-state tuition, just across the board, or out-of-state tuition, okay. But to continually give and give and give, I think is wrong. Illegals have had 12 years of free education, free medical, free food stamps. You know, no one is being denied college. If people individually want to reach into their pocket and help them, okay. But for them to get the in-state, I think is very wrong. They won't have a Social Security number to gain employment when they graduate. And I just don't understand why. I really don't. Why you want them all to have the in-state tuition over and above a U.S. citizen. I don't know why I should obey the law, pay taxes, do the right thing when they obviously have not done the right thing. I don't know how this will help qualify for employment. They're still illegal, so I'm against it.
Thank you. Next.
My name's pardon me. My name's Larry Wilcox, and I'm not only against the in-state tuition for illegal residents from other countries. I'm against the immigration, I say in general. Not only the cost, what it's going to cost the state, the federal government, and everyone else, as to what it takes to support these people. There's free medical. There's food stamps. Now, in-state tuition. And I myself am a cancer patient. I have had considerable radiation and chemotherapy. And I go in quite frequently for treatment and checkups. Every time that I go in, it costs somewhere between $5,000 and $8,000. And I'm only there but a short period of time throughout the day. But what struck me is that when they give me a monograph at the end of my visit, and at the top of that monograph, it tells me what treatment I had that day, what my future treatments are, and on the top, it says 100%. Out of curiosity, I inquired as to what that 100% represented. And I was told, that's because you pay 100% of your services. Well, my response to that was, doesn't everyone pay 100% of their services? Absolutely not. Some people pay less. Some people pay zero. Yes, who pays zero?
Mr. Wilcox.
Guess who pays zero?
I need to conclude.
Undocumented people. When I heard that, the hair in the back of my neck stood up and my temperature went to about 500. I don't see any reason why American people should be denied or ignored while the undocumented people are given a free pass. I just don't understand it.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Good evening, Senators. My name is Mark Callahan. I live in South Salem. I'm here today to speak against the potential passage of House Bill 2787. I preface my statement today by stating the issue of illegal immigration isn't a partisan issue. It's a human legal issue and boils down to breaking and entering. The illegal immigrants that are here, whether they have kids with them or not, are here illegally. Illegal is illegal is illegal. It is common sense. Why do we try to hide behind the politically correct moniker of words like undocumented? The facts are the facts that those here, whether they're here illegally, if they're not here legally, they're here illegally and should not be put into a special class of entitled to benefits that are supposed to be reserved for actual citizens of the United States and Oregon. How is it fair and just to give a handout entitlement to those that have come here to our country seeking a better life for themselves and their family, not as victims, through hard work in order to earn and contribute to the very essence of what makes our exceptionalism in our country great? When I was in college at Oregon State, I delivered pizza and worked a part-time job to put myself through school. In doing so, I developed the strong work ethic I have today. Why would the Oregon legislature vote to deprive immigrants of the opportunity of developing the same strong work ethic? If those that are here illegally were actually motivated to follow our laws instead of contributing to the entitlement handout mindset, they would have done the right thing and got in line long ago to be proactive and work towards and earn their U.S. citizenship. How is it fair and equitable to U.S. citizens from out of state to be charged more for their education when those here illegally are charged less? Has Oregon become the handout state? If so, step up to the trough. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions for this panel? Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Okay, we're over here. Cindy Avila, Patricia Cruz, Jasmine Rogue, and on deck, Jenna Wallace, Doug Smith, Lynn Hill, Vandermonden. Welcome to the Capitol.
Good afternoon. Thank you for granting me the opportunity to speak today. My name is Cindy, and first of all, I'm an Oregonian, a taxpayer, and a community organizer for immigrant and labor rights here in the Portland and Oregon area. My family was displaced to this country when I was 2 years old. I was raised in Woodburn, a small, predominantly agricultural town. My parents worked as farm workers, picking strawberries and working in canneries. They worked very long hours and under the scorching sun and under inhumane conditions. And my parents always taught my siblings and I to work hard, get good grades at school, so that we wouldn't be faced with those same conditions later on in life. And that's exactly what my siblings and I did. We strived to get good grades. We participated in extracurricular activities, but seemed to face a very hard roadblock senior year in high school when we were getting ready to prep for continuing our higher education. We realized that we weren't able to apply for financial aid or college applications because of our legal status. And this is a reality that many youth in this country face. And it's really important, and right now is a really key time to pass tuition equity, because with deferred action passed, there's more flexibility for people to become valuable members, and who are valuable members of the community, to become educated and get those tools to becoming teachers, architects, and other professions that they wish to explore. And this is basically a human right, and education should be granted to everyone.
Cindy, I need you to conclude.
Yeah. I just want to end that it breaks my heart to see very talented and intelligent, hardworking youth not being able to pursue higher education because of a Social Security number. And I was really fortunate to obtain my degree by working multiple jobs and being part-time and full-time student. But this is not the reality for a lot of students.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Cruz and Ms. Rowe, we do have your written testimony, so don't feel the need to read it aloud. Just a summary would be great. If you can.
Good afternoon, Chair House and members of the committee. My name is Patricia Cruz, and I'm here in support of tuition equity. Thank you for letting me testify today. I've lived in Oregon for over 20 years. I'm 21 now. And I've studied in Portland Public Schools since I was in kindergarten to high school. In high school, I was able to take a class at Portland Community College and take a senior inquiry class at Portland State University. My grades were above average, and I was able to make my parents proud by graduating with honors. However, none of these things mattered because universities rejected me before I could even apply. All I had to say is, I'm undocumented. And with that, my dreams of becoming a teacher shattered. By winter term, I had given up, and my teachers began to question why I had not applied to schools. You see, in high school, I participated in extracurricular activities that would help me develop skills and help my community. I mentored Oakley Green Middle School students, many of whom have now graduated and have moved on to universities, which I'm very proud of. I was part of the first team of high school students at Jefferson High School to help with the Carbon Footprint Fair. I also joined the mock trial after school to compete with other high school teams in Oregon. Like most high school students, I was building up my resume so I could go to a university and perhaps they could see that not only was I wanted a better education, but I was also helping my community. However, that was not possible. Since I'm undocumented and not considered an Oregon resident, meaning I would have to pay out-of-state tuition. As a senior in high school, my higher education aspirations dimmed, and I don't think that was going to be an attainable goal. For the undocumented students who are now attending Oregon high schools, who want to achieve their goals in higher education, any opportunity can be opened this year. Tuition equity would allow students to apply and pay in-state tuition if they attend high school for a minimum of 3 years.
Ms. Oregon, Bruce, you need to conclude, please.
Okay. I would like you all, for every student who has grown up in Oregon high school, who grown up in Oregon, to be given a chance to be an Oregon Duck or a Beaver or anything else they would like to be. My goals and aspirations and dreams of obtaining a higher education are the same as any Oregon student.
Thank you.
So please let us. So please vote yes on tuition equity.
Thank you. Ms. Rogue.
Yeah, so before I get started, I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody
start
in the overflow.
Start off with your name and ID.
Oh, right. So my name is Jasmine. I am a student at Southern Oregon University. I am one of the co-chairs for the Oregon Students of Color Coalition with the Oregon Student Association, and I'm also a member of the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. So again, a shout out to all the folks in the overflow rooms. Thank you for being here today in support of this bill, and thank you to all the supporters that have shown up to all the past hearings as well. It has really been overwhelming to see the amount of support that this bill has gotten. So my work as a representative for Oregon students of color is rooted in the belief that education should be accessible to everyone. My parents have worked extremely hard to make sure that the possibility of attending a university would be a reality for me. I am out of state. I am a first-generation Latina, and I have seen and experienced firsthand the barriers that limit the opportunities of individuals, of communities, of families. And my experience thus far has taught me that education is vital to the advancement of all persons. As I said before, I'm a member of the OSOC board, and we are a statewide coalition of students. We advocate for equal access to education by empowering students and strengthening communities of color, which is why back in 2003, when Senate President Courtney introduced tuition equity, it immediately became a priority for Oregon students of color and the Oregon Student Association. So it's been 10 years now that students have been organizing and talking about the need for tuition equity. We've been raising awareness and mobilizing our peers, our communities, our campuses, because we recognize that this issue is not only deeply felt, but also widely felt, and we've been working with a wide range of coalition partners, and I will wrap it up. And then in my testimony, I have several key points that I speak to regarding tuition equity, but these students have been waiting for 10 years, waiting to join our communities and be fully contributing members, and I would respectfully ask, haven't they waited long enough? So please vote yes on HB 2787, tuition equity. Thank you.
Senator Knauf, did you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Cindy, are you the one of the under?
I'm Patty.
You're Patricia. Patty and Cindy? Cindy, you referred to deferred action being passed. What deferred action are you speaking of?
I'm specifically speaking about the DACA deferred action. And now that that's been passed nationwide, there's an opportunity to that grant students and people that have been here for the majority of their lives to have a work permit for 2 years. And so that would enable a lot of students who do get the opportunity to pursue higher education to have a job after their education and, you know, continue to contribute to the community.
Follow up. Are you referring to President Obama's executive order?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And Patricia, you mentioned the fact that your dream was to be a teacher. And so help me understand or explain to me, because there was prior testimony that said that even if you were to attend a four-year university, you couldn't legally have a job. So talk to me about that.
Well, thanks to DACA, I will be one of the students who will be able to obtain a Social Security and be able to work after I'm done with my degree. And I'm sure more students will be able to apply for that, and the same will happen to them.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all. Next up, Jenna Wallace, Doug Smith, Linnell Vannebodden. Apologize for that mispronunciation, I'm sure. And on deck, Ayrton Nicholas, Betsy Earls, and Joel Fisher. Welcome to the Capitol. Go ahead.
My name is Jana Wallace, and I'm from Hillsboro, Oregon. I came here from Finland many years ago on a student visa. I paid out-of-state tuition. I had to show that I had about $10,000 with me when I came so that I would not become a burden on this society. I had to take several student loans. And I was over 40 years old when those loans were paid off. I still very much appreciate it, and I still do appreciate the opportunity to study here and become a citizen. My grandson is graduating this spring from high school in Vancouver, Washington. He has been now accepted to a university here in Oregon. And although he started his school here, he is graduating from Vancouver, and he's required to pay out-of-state tuition. What sense does that make? If somebody's being here illegally and is getting in-state tuition in Oregon, and Mike Ranson, who is an American-born citizen, is paying out-of-state tuition, is there any value of following the law? Or is there any value of being United States citizen? In general, is there any value for that? I don't know. And I speak for many, many people who came from Europe. I've never met anybody who is for this law. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Doug Smith. I live here in Salem. There's a difference between a $12,000 and a $6,000 mark. That $6,000 has to come from somewhere, and I doubt if you're going to, as legislatures, you're going to come up with a difference. Apparently, the only difference can come from the higher tuition rates for everybody, which will put a, be higher tuition rates for the citizens and the citizens' parents. And it's just nowhere else for that $6,000 to be coming from. The difference, and so you're going to have a 5 to 10% increase in tuition eventually if this bill goes through, I suspect. Thank you.
Yep.
My name is Linnell Vannebodden, Chairman Haas and members of the committee. When I asked several state representatives their reason for supporting in-state tuition, they claimed that it was only fair and it wouldn't cost any extra money because our college infrastructure and the staff had already been paid for, meaning that extra students represented profits that a college wouldn't have gotten otherwise. Well, if this is true, why stop at a discount for illegal alien students? Why not extend it to Americans from other states? Don't they represent extra profit also? Their parents must have paid federal taxes that come back to our university system in some form. So this exclusion of other citizens tells me that maybe legislators are secretly worried that too many new low-tuition payers will increase costs eventually. Or maybe there's just an anti-citizen bias at work in our state. This devaluation of citizens and citizenship is nothing new. When Senator Peter Courtney first advanced his in-state tuition bill, which was Senate Bill 10, he wrote on his website that illegal aliens were more cost-effective than citizens. I was appalled to hear a state senator say something like that against Americans. Maybe he didn't know who is subsidizing this population, but the state seems to have the same attitude in most immigration matters. I don't believe citizens should have to keep deferring to mass lawlessness and lose more and more of our representation in the process. If the passage of this in-state tuition bill is a foregone conclusion, then we citizens deserve laws that discourage future illegal immigration in return. We need a state e-verify bill, and an end to expense deductions for the employers of illegal labor. We need a rapid repat bill for nonviolent inmates, and I think we need an ag bill that encourages more mechanization. But we never get these things. When I asked Representative Dembro to sponsor some of these bills, he flatly refused to even discuss it. He said any enforcement is strictly a federal matter.
Madam Odom, we need you to conclude your remarks.
Okay, well, why is accommodating illegal immigration a state obligation, but discouraging it isn't? I don't think this is fair.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you for testifying. Art Nicholas, Betsy Earls, Joel Fisher. On deck, Cliff Gerard, Beverly Holmes, and Don Poole.
My name is Ayrton Nicholas, Chairman Haas, and gentlemen of the committee. If you would have asked me 4 years ago what would I have been doing after high school, I would have told you I'd be somewhere out in the Willamette Valley doing some type of labor work. Today, a little bit more than 2 months before my high school graduation, I can proudly tell you that after high school, I will go on to become a neurosurgeon. I'm 17 years of age, and I'm currently a senior at North Salem High School. Throughout my high school years, I've always striven to great things, whether it was on the football or baseball fields, and even more in the classrooms. I've never settled for anything less than my best. My parents always reminded me that hard work pays off, and to seek greater things in life, in which I don't have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, after morning, after morning, or in which I don't have to work 12-hour days to barely make ends meet month after month. I've been a member of the ROTC program at North Salem High School, which just recently has won the 2 state championships. I've also been a member of the choir program, where I'm the vice president. And I'm also a member of a fire explorers program in Kaiser, Oregon. The hard work has definitely paid off. I've been accepted to multiple universities around the state and the nation and have been granted thousands of dollars in scholarships. Unfortunately, because of my legal status here in America, my tuition cost is twice, sometimes even 3 times more than that of my fellow classmates, whom I've studied with, whom I played sports with, and who I've volunteered with. This is the only cost keeping me from chasing after my dreams. And I know that they say to never let anyone take the pursuit of happiness away from you, but unfortunately, in today's world, it is money that dictates what we do with our lives. Today, I stand in front of you to plead you to urge you to pass HB 2787 so that students like me who strive towards a better life can create a better nation. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, members, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Betsy Earls, representing Associated Oregon Industries, in support of House Bill 2787. The tuition equity bill for this session. How about that? AOI supports tuition equity this session and last session, and I believe the session before, that extends in-state tuition to all qualified graduates of Oregon high schools, regardless of their immigration status, who attended an Oregon high school and are accepted at an Oregon public university, as long as they're showing that they work toward residency. Our basic position at AOI as the business community is that tuition equity legislation strengthens economic growth in Oregon. Educated Oregonians are essential for economic recovery and growth in this state. Studies show that post-secondary education attainment leads to significantly higher salaries and wages for individuals and increased economic success for businesses, which strengthens state's overall economic growth. Legislation, I think, is very important to future business success. And rather than go through all of my testimony today, I'm in the building and can talk to you when you'd like. What I would leave you with is that there are a lot of people in this building that see 2787 is an immigration issue. And I hear that. But what I would tell you is that to the business community, this is very much a workforce issue and an economic issue. And I'll leave it there.
Chair Haas, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Joel Fisher. I'm senior policy analyst at the Oregon Business Association, an association made up of over 300 businesses across Oregon. I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2787, this year's tuition equity bill. Improving access to post-secondary education is a key pillar of OBA's strategic plan. We support policies that move us closer towards Oregon's goal of meeting 40-40-20. We support tuition equity because it's simply the right thing to do, and beyond that, it makes good business sense. Oregon has relied on an import strategy for an educated workforce. At the same time, it's keeping its doors to a higher education closed to some of its own citizens. Tuition equity will ensure that Oregon is on strong economic footing with an educated workforce to attract employers to the region. This goal is about as much about Oregon's economic success as about Oregon's educational success, and we're here to urge your support for tuition equity. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for our panel, Senator Kill?
Thank you. So to Betsy and Josh,
Joel.
Does OBA or AOI have a position on eliminating out-of-state tuition, period?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, we don't have a position on eliminating out-of-state tuition, period, no.
I don't believe that OBA does either, no.
Thank you.
Senator Cruz.
Yeah, a question for Joel. I'm assuming your name's here three times. I'm assuming the second one is Chinese. What language is the third one?
The third one is just, it's a fish, because my last name is Fisher.
Okay, I assume it might have been Klingon, but I wasn't sure.
No,
okay.
It's just a fish.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick diversion here and hear from one of our legislative fiscal analysts, Tim Walker, explanation of the bills and some questions that Senator Knope has. Thank you, Tim. Senator Knope.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Tim, a question was raised earlier by Representative Parrish, and essentially the question was, is why the inequity between House Bill 2787 and House Bill 2158, which was allowing non-resident veterans that are discharged honorably to have in-state tuition. So there seemed to be a different fiscal on that. In other words, it wasn't creating revenue, yet this bill somehow, according to the revenue statement, does create some revenue. Can you help explain the difference?
Chair Haas, Senator, note for the record, my name is Tim Walker with the Legislative Fiscal Office. Not having 2158 directly in front of me, I have to rely on the projections that OUS makes about who they think is going to take advantage of this or not. I believe with the service members, they know that there are a certain number that are currently enrolled in the university system that are paying out-of-state tuition. When that goes away, there's going to be some, I don't know if I'd call it cost necessarily, that's going to decrease, but then they would anticipate that they would have increased participation from other vets who may not come to the state to take advantage of the, you know, in-state tuition.
One more question. So as it relates to somebody who comes to attend a Oregon University from outside the state, if they're staying in the state and they're planning to be here for 4 years, do they automatically become a resident after a year and therefore get in-state tuition after that, or are they considered non-resident unless they somehow change that status? And I don't know what the process is for that, but that's why I'm asking.
Chair Haas, Senator Knope, I'm not an expert on the eligibility requirements that the OUS system has. I would assume that an out-of-state student would have to take some actions to become a state resident, you know, but exactly what those actions that they would have to take are, I don't know, and I don't know what the time frame is.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you for coming down. Cliff Gerard, Beverly Haynes, Don Poole. On deck, Diego Hernandez, Lorena Landeros, Gustavo Lemon.
Should we get a fourth one?
Beverly. I should have Cliff, Beverly, and Don Poole.
What's that?
Okay. Get that straight.
Thank you.
Do you want me to go first?
Welcome. Sure.
My name is Beverly Haynes. Good afternoon, Chair Haas, members of the committee. I'm testifying on House Bill 2787, which is an attempt to give in-state tuition benefits to illegal aliens. In previous Oregon legislative sessions, similar bills to House Bill 2787 have failed. I have spent many years working in the criminal justice system and know firsthand what happens to children when their parents engage in criminal behavior. These children whom this in-state tuition is all about have parents who broke into the United States illegally and brought them to Oregon. This act is criminal. Americans believe in the rule of law, and you do not reward criminal behavior. Throughout the years, Oregon taxpayers have given each of these illegal alien children 12 years of American education with no thanks. They just demand more. I must say each of these illegal alien children have been taught very well by their criminal parents to continue perpetrating their illegal presence and demands on our state and country. I ask you, why is the state of Oregon wasting taxpayers' time and money again and again on bills that help anyone who is here illegally? These illegal alien children cannot work legally in the United States of America because it is against federal law. Why the need for House Bill 2787? Section 2 of House Bill 2787 mandates that only people who are here illegally in the United States of America can qualify under this bill for in-state tuition rates. This bill would reduce tuition revenue to the Oregon University system by millions of dollars a year and result in increased taxes to Oregonians. Giving in-state tuition to illegal aliens will give each $20,000 per year benefit, a benefit that would be denied to U.S. citizens from another state. Where is the equity there? House Bill 2787 is an attempt to diminish the value of American citizenship. Our legislators should be looking for ways to discourage illegal immigration, not reward it. It is beyond my comprehension why any of you would entertain a single thought and go forward with this bill. I ask you to please vote no on House Bill 2787.
Thank you. Next.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee, for the opportunity to be here. My name is Clifford Gerard. I live in West Salem. I'm a citizen of the United States. I ask you to vote no on this bill because it is an illegal bill. It's already been mentioned that the federal law of 1996 has certain requirements. In Section 1623, it prohibits states from providing in-state tuition rates to illegal aliens based on residence in a state unless the same rates are offered to the United States citizens. This bill does not provide for that. Therefore, it's against our Constitution in terms of what we're talking about. I attended the last hearing and was very disappointed that the opposition to the bill only received 20 minutes out of over 2 hours of time. A state student attending Oregon State University told the committee that if the bill passes, she will sue the state of Oregon. And folks, if this bill passes, you're going to get many, many lawsuits from people outside the state of Oregon. My wife and I are paying taxes already for free public school education through grade 12 for our illegal students. Passing this bill will only mean more taxes. A recent poll showed 81% of the United States citizens polled oppose a bill like this bill. It was just announced that in April, the federal government in budgeting cutting is doing away with bonuses and incentives for men and women joining the military services. How can we justify eliminating a program that has been in effect since World War II for people who defend our country, and then we turn around and fund illegal immigrants? Where's the fairness there? Gentlemen, I would just mention to you that the day that you vote, I would appreciate you remembering that the majority of the people in the state of Oregon is against this bill, and there's going to be a lot of prayers lifted up on your behalf to vote no on this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gerard.
Chair and members of the committee, my name is Don Poole. I'm a citizen of the United States, a resident of Oregon, and I live in Salem. I pay taxes, and therefore I pay your wages. You work for me and other citizens, not those illegally in this country. I've sat through two hearings on this already, this year and last year. I've not been able to speak, but now you can hear me. Since you represent all legal residents of the state of Oregon, citizens of the United States, I think all speakers should state today whether they're legal citizens or not. I recommend a vote against in-state tuition for illegals. Illegals from other countries have benefited too much already with food stamps, medical benefits, rent subsidies, education, etc. Tax revenues intended to support legal citizens are already diminished. What benefits would we get if we would go to any other country? My family used to live in Alaska. My daughters both attended colleges in Oregon and Washington. I had to pay their out-of-state tuitions. I do not want illegals to benefit roughly $20,000 per year from the tax monies that I have to pay. Legislators should be looking for ways to discourage illegal immigration, definitely not to reward it. I'm a citizen, and I pay your wages. I do not want to benefit anyone who has broken the laws of our country to take our benefits. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you identify yourself for the record so we know?
Don Poole.
Don, you got that. Okay. Questions for this panel? Thank you. Diego Hernandez, Lorena Lenders, Gustavo Lyman.
Good afternoon, Chair Haz and members of the committee. I am in favor of tuition equity. My name is Gustavo Limon, and I am 14 years old. I am a student at Cesar Chavez Middle School. I came to this country at the age of 5, along with my mom, hoping I would have a better future. Moving to this country was very difficult for me. New school, new people, new language. I was held back in kindergarten because I didn't know any English. Luckily, I had friends and family who tried their best to help me out. I dream to be a lawyer at Oregon and attend Oregon State University. I want to be a lawyer because I saw the injustice happening in our community, and I would love to help them out. I have friends who are working on accomplishing their dreams, but I had to take an extra step. I always knew I was undocumented, and I always knew how hard life was going to be. However, I have not given up on my education because I believe I can accomplish dreams. Tuition equity doesn't cost anything or affects taxpayers. If you open these doors for us, there will be more students with an education. I respectfully ask that you vote yes on tuition equity to honor our parents' hard work and dedication to us.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair House, members of the committee. My name is Lorena Landeros, and I'm here to voice my support for tuition equity. I've had the privilege of living in the state of Oregon since I was six. My parents brought me to this great country in search of opportunities, like many of the students that we've heard share their stories here today. Growing up, I was able to take advantage of the opportunities by working hard, getting good grades, playing sports, and working to support myself and my family. When it came to seriously consider my future, I knew that getting a college degree was really kind of the only option for me. So with support of my family, my friends, and my community, I attended the University of Oregon with a full tuition scholarship, and I graduated in 2008 with a Bachelor of Arts in Ethnic Studies in Spanish. My story is no different than the student we're here advocating for today. The only thing is that I'm a U.S. resident, and so I get to pay in-state tuition. These students are told day in and day out that if they work hard, they'll succeed in life. So they do. They take the challenging classes, they play sports, they work to support their friends and their families. But they're denied the opportunity to pursue a higher education because of something they have no control over. Their parents, just like mine, wanted something better for them, a better life and a better future, and through no fault of theirs, they're being priced out and being told no. Right now, I work for the University of Oregon as an admissions counselor, and my job is to recruit Oregon residents and Oregon students to attend our Oregon public institutions. My territories right now are Yamhill, Polk, and Marion County. So this is Woodburn Academies, this is Newburgh High School, this is Jervis High School, and I can't think of one high school that I visited this year that I haven't had one student tell me that they're undocumented and they want to be a Duck. We hear that. They want to be a Duck, or they want to be a Beaver, they want to go to Western or Southern. Most of these students have DACA documents, so they're deferred action for childhood arrivals that President Obama passed. So nothing is harder for me in my job than having to tell them no. No, they can't attend the U of O. No, yes, they do have to pay out-of-state tuition. They're not eligible for in-state. And these are the high-achieving students that we want. These are the 4.0 GPAs. These are the hard students who have worked all their lives. These are the students that deserve to be in our university classrooms. Tuition equity can only help our state succeed. There's no reason why we shouldn't consider this. So I worked on this since 2003, and we've seen it fail in 03 and 05 and 09 in 2011. Please make 2013 the year of tuition equity.
Thank you.
Chair Haas, members of the committee, my name is Diego Hernandez, and I am a teacher, an educator, and I support tuition equity. I have been working with youth for the last 9 years, and I've personally seen how the lack of tuition equity has been a barrier to higher education for many students and former students. I urge this committee to move tuition equity forward to help me and other teachers encourage young folks to pursue a post-secondary education. I want to talk a little bit about the American dream and history, and probably because I'm a teacher. But most importantly, it is because history explains the past and lessons learned. As an educator, I always think about our time in history and what the future will realize about our current mistakes. The American dream stems from our early history of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We see this pursuit by twilight, and hopefully you recognize that sounds familiar, but it's because of history, not a fictional movie or a book. Alexander Twilight was the first African-American to have earned a college degree in 1823. The American dream and education are one and the same. And historically, we have seen the pendulum swing towards the eradication of educational barriers. And the shift has been the progression of the American dream itself. The term American dream became popularized in 1931 by James Adams, who wrote, "The American dream, it is not a dream of motor cars and high wages merely, but a dream of social order in which each man and each woman shall be able to attain to the full stature of which they are innately capable, regardless of the fortuitous circumstances of birth or position." So currently, I truly believe that we are in the wrong for having created educational barriers for American-raised students based on their circumstances of birth. We all know that tuition equity will boost the educational level of our state, bring in tax dollars, and capitalize investment in public education. But we should also realize that history will remember this era where we limited the American dream once again. Help us continue to move the American dream towards an arc of justice and vote yes on tuition equity.
Thank you. Any questions of this panel? Thank you all. I'm going to close the public hearing.
You're up early.
On House Bill 2787. I thank you all for participating in this. By our unofficial count, we had 28 people who testified today. As it worked out, 14 who opposed this bill and 14 who supported it. And I'm going to go into a work session on House Bill 2787. Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Chair Haas. Chair Haas, I move House Bill 2787A to the floor with a duplex recommendation.
Senator Roblin moves House Bill 2787A to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there a discussion?
I'll say a few words.
Senator Roblin.
Yeah, I would like to say a few things. As a high school principal, I worked with a number of these students and oftentimes found places in other states that had tuition equity so that they could continue their education and work hard to do those things. I have been exceedingly impressed with many of them who, with hard work and determination. I think I said at the last hearing, one young man who actually his family saved up all the money and let him walk from Vietnam into Laos and then from Laos to camps in the Philippines and then finally through other family members was brought to Oregon. Didn't know any language, and by the time he was out of high school, was one of our best students. Eventually went to New York to become a doctor because he could get tuition equity there, and I wish he was a doctor back here. But he's a doctor there now and has his education. The one I didn't talk about as much, which was as frustrating to me, is I had a young man who came to this state, went to our high school. He would not have qualified for this program because he was not there for 3 years. His younger brother did, and his younger brother graduated after him. He decided that the best way to become an American citizen was to follow in his stepfather's service in the Navy, and he had heard that in going to Iraq and those places, he had a chance to have citizenship or easier by doing that. He did that, and repeatedly he requested the opportunity after two or three tours in Iraq to get his citizenship. I think he has stayed in the Navy. He's going to make it a career. He's still, at the last I checked, he had not been granted that because every time he was sent the papers, he had to be back in Coos Bay, but he was in Iraq, and they couldn't get it to work out where he was in the right place at the right time. So it was taking him years, and we worked on that. His brother decided to go to college and work on his citizenship. He got his citizenship within a year because he'd done all the right things and did the things he was supposed to do, and his stepfather was an American citizen and a Navy person. And I've always felt frustrated for this young man, doing all the right things, and our system had told him that would work for him, and it did not. And I, too, had the opportunity to have my older daughter go to college in Washington, and I was an Oregon resident, and she lived with her grandparents and paid out-of-state tuition. So I understand the feeling of that issue. They eventually came back and did a little bit here, which was nice, because she got a little bit of our tuition. But for me, this is an issue about young people who, through no fault of their own, ended up here in Oregon, were exceptional members of our communities, did a lot of things, like the people we heard here today. And I think it is the right thing for us as Oregonians to do and to reach out our hand. And the last thing I'll say is I had this conversation once. My family was also one of those that started with an illegal immigrant. My grandfather jumped ship in Aberdeen, Washington. He was a Finn Swede, which my great-grandfather always hated because he was a Swede, not a Finn Swede, and so there was a real difference there. And those people who know that community and understand that. And he lived in this country and built in Aberdeen, Washington, and built a gas station and did a lot of other kinds of things and waited until and tried to figure out how to become a citizen. And eventually, one of the presidents many, many years ago did an amnesty thing, and he was one of the first people in line to go get his citizenship in this country. And, you know, proud to do that. My other great-grandfather immigrated here and brought his whole family over from Sweden, and they went through the whole process of doing that and going through the processes and waiting year after year to get the permission to get the next person of the family over here, and they did it all that way. You know, America is a melting pot of people who get here in a lot of different ways, and hopefully we give the people who are here opportunity to make a difference for the next generation, and I look forward to the opportunity to see some of these people make it. I do not think it will be many. The tuition is so high for even in-state for so many of our young people who are in these families that many of them won't take advantage of it. And I think that I was shocked at the number that they thought, maybe 80 over the next few years that could actually take advantage of this particular thing. So it's not going to be a rapid increase. It will be a few students who work harder than everybody else. So I look forward to this bill passing. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Beyer.
Just a couple of very quick comments in the news. I appreciated everybody's testimony there in the hearing, and I think there's a couple of things I think we should keep in mind. One is most of the young people we're talking about did not come here of their own volition. We have little control as children over what our parents do, and so most of them came here without even knowing where they were. Most came as infants or very young children, and the only home they've ever known is Oregon. It's where most of them have done their entire educational experience through that. So, I mean, they are citizens of this state, or have been for most of their lives. The other thing, there was a lot of discussion about the discrepancy of the tax paying, who's paying what. We often forget that, and we could argue all day about whether their parents should be here legally or not, but they are. Most all of them are here. They came here for economic reasons, to work and work hard like my ancestors did coming from Europe. And they have been paying taxes, just like all the rest of us. They've paid taxes, although they get little of the benefits from that because of their illegal immigrations. They are paying taxes. Most importantly, they're paying the property taxes and the state income taxes. So they are contributing to that fund and will have been paying their share of that. The difference between out-of-state and in-state really is one of where are you paying for the educational services. And people who live in California or Idaho or whatever, they're paying towards it there. And if their kids were there, that's probably where they would go to school. So it's not the same situation in terms of that. And they will continue to pay. And hopefully these young people will do well and make money and will contribute even more to society as they go ahead.
Further discussion? Senator Knope.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to vote no. And one of the, I think, most powerful things that I heard, there was some great testimony in committee today, but there was a young lady who goes to OSU, and she's a minority student. Her parents live in California, and therefore she pays three times. She pays an out-of-state rate. And I think we're likely to see significant lawsuits from students like that who think it is inequitable. And I also think we should answer the veteran issue. And maybe we need to do that in a different vehicle. But I believe that it should be veterans first and then the rest of us. Because, veterans have, fought for our country, they've bled for our country, and, thank goodness that many of them do come home. And, I think we shouldn't be charging them out-of-state tuition. I think we ought to welcome them home. And they ought to have in-state tuition as well. So we probably ought to do that in a different vehicle, but I'll be a no vote on this bill.
Further discussion? Okay, I would just say, I don't want to pile on to some of the very eloquent statements that we heard here today, but that it was, I'm very grateful for the respectful tone in which we debated this. I heard some dreams here. I heard someone say they want to be a neurologist, a doctor, a teacher. And I have to tell you that I did not come down to the Oregon State Capitol to stand in the way of dreams. I don't think this is anything other than an opportunity for education, something that should not be denied to someone simply because of who their parents were. So with that, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Senator Beyer.
Aye.
Senator Cruz.
No.
Senator Roman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Knope.
No.
Hass votes aye. The motion passes. House Bill 2787 with the due pass recommendation goes to the floor of the Oregon State Senate, and Senator Courtney will carry the bill. Without any further business, we are adjourned.